Aging in our society means many different things to different people. This is Lisa Berry, and that's why we bring you Modern Aging here on 89.1 WEMU with my co-host for the segment, Dr. Teresa Reed, who can be found at agingforlife.org. Hi, Teresa.
Hey, how you doing?
Today we're focusing more on the social and psychological aspects of aging, and we're talking about what some experience feeling invisible in certain segments of society as we get older. Would you agree, Teresa? Teresa?
I'm sorry, I didn't notice you were there.
Ah, see, aha! There you go.
Sorry.
Evidence piece number one.
Right.
Teresa is well-versed in the impact of the social parts of aging. And so let's talk about remaining visible and relevant in an age of society. I identified that as an issue. Do you?
Yeah, I absolutely do. It is really painful. I mean, my initial response to what do you do about feeling invisible or irrelevant, then I want to say, like, to whom? You know, and think about purpose and what you're doing for. You know what I mean? Why are you engaging in your activity? Is it just to gain attention or, you know, just to be visible? So we could go in the purpose direction, or we could go in the direction of, yeah, in fact, lots of times older people are like overlooked completely.
I think in life, people just want attention and affirmation and to know that they're being heard. So I think as you get older, no matter what you're doing, because you ask where and why, and I understand what you're saying about, you know, whose attention do you really need anyway?
Mm-hmm.
But any attention, anywhere you go, to a restaurant or to an organizational gathering, to your own kids, sometimes I think the respect for your elders is not there.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of evidence of that. Partly, you know, things like, you know, people walk into stores and don't get waited on because they're like,
right,
literally like, what could you want, you know?
Yeah.
And little kids have the same issue, right? You know, smaller people have the same issue and older people definitely experience it. For us, it's more of a shock because we're not used to being invisible. And then suddenly we are. So people like will sometimes not move off the sidewalk because there you are. And it's like, but they don't see you. It's very strange. But I also want to say that it's a feminist issue. How many times do you see, like, valorized in movies and television, older women with younger men?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Never.
Never.
Right?
Rarely.
Never.
If ever.
People usually go, oh, gross. You know, I mean, that would just be gross. Whereas, of course, you know, older men and younger women still all the time. All the time. Older men are sexy, silver foxes, and older women are just witches often, or sometimes cougars, right?
Right.
But definitely not sexy. So that is a huge thing for older women. You know, it's just part of the culture, the patriarchal culture. Younger people expect older people, and I hate to generalize, but it's generally true, but not always true, right? Many younger people expect many older people to have very little of interest to say, to be out of it. These are ageist assumptions, to be out of it, to not be interesting, and so forth, to be behind the times. And
behind the times. Really understand what's happening.
Right, right. I actually would like to come back to that for a second and say that older people often denigrate younger people as well. You know, oh, these millennials, oh, these Gen Xers, you know, we sometimes generalize about younger people. And that is also ageist. It's not as common as the reverse of, you know, people, older people being denigrated, but it does happen. And that's ageism, too. So, you know, one thing that we really have to not engage in is intergenerational warfare, because there is so much in this world that needs to be fixed, and it needs all ages, all generations. So let's just be clear about that there's a lot to do together. And ageism is definitely a force, and that's one of the things that we need to battle together, because what is ageism in young people? It's prejudice against their future selves.
Right, but they don't think about it that way.
No, not yet, but that's one reason we're doing modern aging.
Right.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Does it start at home? Is it a sociological, cultural thing? How does that work?
Well, I don't even know where it starts. It's just, we just are raised in it. Yeah, it starts at home. It starts everywhere. It starts in the greeting card aisle at any major store, right?
I mean, right. We agree those old age cards are not funny.
The horrible cards. And the,
to which people say, well, have a sense of humor. And I think Teresa and I have pretty good senses of humor.
Yeah, we do. We laugh all the time.
Still not thinking that's very funny.
No, it's not. It's denigrating. I mean, all you have to do to think about, is this ageist? Is imagine if it was another marginalized group being depicted in that way. What if it was African-American people or Latino people or gay people, you know, who are being denigrated in that way? And it's like, why, get a sense of humor. It's like, no. No, right. It's not funny to denigrate other people. So those cards and, you know, cartoons and depictions on television. I mean, I laughed when Tim Conway fell down the stairs and on Carol Burnett, you know, 100 years ago. But now I look at it and I just am horrified, actually. Do you know what I'm talking about? Are you too young?
No, I was going to say, who is this Tim Conway?
I'm sorry to all you younger people listening.
This circles back to what you said originally about how it's a feminist issue. Women need to learn to stand up for themselves when it comes to ageism.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just show up and you know,
and speak up.
And speak up. And I think a lot of people are surprised when we are as articulate as we often are, you know, about and as up to date on issues and as politically informed and so forth, and as interesting on any range of life issues.
So do you have some resources for us to look into?
As always.
Yeah, let us know.
As always. So a couple things. One, I want to mention the Pass It On Network, and I think it's passiton.org. This is such a cool network. It's a network of international network of organizations that are working to fight ageism internationally. It is really interesting. And the newsletter that comes, I think it's every 2 months, I just got the September-October issue, has news from all over the world about anti-ageism initiatives and positive aging initiatives. It's just fantastic. So just to know what's going on elsewhere, it's great. And then if you are a boomer or beyond and are really excited about wanting to start a second act and keep going and, you know, re-engage in whatever way you want to. There's a new site called proboomer.com, proboomer.com. I refer to it as rocket fuel. It was started by a guy named Paul Long out of Detroit, actually. And it is just, his site is loaded with resources and videos and articles to help any boomer retool for doing for your next phase. Overcoming ageism in the workplace and other resources. So it's great. And then another really fun and interesting show is called Growing Bolder. And you can just go to growingbolder.com. It's just fantastic radio and podcast out of Florida with stories about boomers and, you know, people 50 plus who are doing all kinds of incredibly interesting stuff. So I recommend all of those resources.
And I recommend agingforlife.org. You'll find out more about Dr. Teresa Reed when you go there. Thanks for this conversation on remaining visible and relevant in an ageist society. Here is part of Modern Aging on 89.1 WEMU.
Thanks, Lisa.
Support for Modern Aging comes from Vibrant Life Senior Living, an innovative approach to assisted living and memory care. Superior Township location now open, vibrantlifeseniorliving.com.